Welcome back to Cool Science Radio. I'm Chris Cherniak here with Lynn Ware Peake. It seemed that the 23andMe test to trace your roots has become a popular birthday or holiday gift. We are fascinated with tracing our roots, our genealogy. Well, our next guest, AJ Jacobs, is more than fascinated. He's obsessed with it and has, in fact, written a book about it called It's All Relative, Adventures Up and Down the Family Tree. Jacobs dives deep into the human genome and discovers tidbits about his Neanderthal grandfathers, yes, and unearths his own genealogical connections to Hollywood actors, Civil War soldiers, and real-life scoundrels, and of course, me, perhaps, AJ Jacobs. Welcome to Cool Science Radio.
Thank you, cousin. Great to be here.
Yeah, well, let's start there. Is it possible that you and I are cousins in some form? And how would we find that out?
Well, it's not just possible. It is actual. I mean, we are all cousins because we all descend from the same two people. They're not the Adam and Eve in the Bible, but they are the mitochondrial Eve and the Y chromosomal Adam. So everyone is... estimates vary, but probably the farthest cousin you have on Earth is about a 70th cousin.
And how far back in time would that go?
Well, about 70 generations.
Okay.
Other people think it's longer, but regardless, yeah, everyone on Earth is a cousin, and that's, this whole project for me started because I got an email from a man who said, "You don't know me, but I'm your eighth cousin." And I thought, as you might, that he was going to say, "Please wire $10,000 to Nigeria."
Yeah.
But it turned out he's part of this group of researchers and scientists who are working on building the biggest family tree in history. And it's not even a tree. It's a forest. It is literally millions of people on the same family tree from over 150 countries, all ethnicities. And I was just fascinated. I mean, part of me was said, do I really want millions of other cousins? Because some of the cousins I have, maybe I'd be happy to cut them out of the tree. But another part of me thought, this is amazing. This is the old idea that we are all one big family. And now, scientifically, we're trying to show concretely how that is.
So when we say family, does that family cut across cultural lines, though, across continents?
It's all seven continents, including Antarctica, because there are scientists based in Antarctica. And, I mean, some of the cousins are quite far, eighth or ninth cousins. One that was interesting is some of the people on the global family tree. That's the big tree that encompasses millions of people. It's almost like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Mm-hmm.
Because, for instance, Barack Obama is my fifth great aunt, husband's brother's wife, seventh great nephew. So that is the literal line that connects us through marriage. There's probably also a line through blood that I don't know about yet. I love it just because of the implications that hopefully when we realize that we're all one big family, that we'll treat each other with just a little bit more kindness, which I think we need in this world right now.
Absolutely. If you're just joining us, our guest is AJ Jacobs. His book is It's All Relative, Adventures Up and Down the World's Family Tree. And it's nice to see, AJ, that you're bipartisan. You reach across to both sides of the aisle because not only are you Barack Obama's cousin, you're also cousins with the late George H.W. Bush. Or maybe by marriage, because maybe it's really Barbara Bush that you were related to.
There you go. It is a remarkable thing. It's almost like the ultimate social network.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was writing a book about family, so I wanted to interview a lot of people, including, I figured, the patriarch of this very famous historic family. So I reached out to his chief of staff, and she said, "Well, the president's not doing interviews anymore." And I said, "I understand, But just so you know, and he knows, we are cousins. We are like 12th cousins. And she said, well, let me see what I can do. And it actually happened. I flew down to Houston and interviewed the late president. So it is pretty remarkable that it provides an entrance to sort of an icebreaker.
So all of these resources that you use, AJ, to find out who your cousins are is pretty interesting, and resources that you probably learned about at this genealogy event, but it's this family news, and then I didn't even realize there's this newspapers.com where you can research, you know, your great-great-grandfather and find newspaper articles about his affinity for a specific hemorrhoid cream.
I'm glad you bring that up. Yes. Very proud. Yeah. I found the only piece of information I could find on one third great uncle of mine was that he endorsed a hemorrhoid cream in a newspaper ad in 1903. But yeah, there are three simultaneous revolutions going on that make this the golden age of genealogy. One is the DNA revolution with services like 23andMe. And one is the internet, which provides you a sort of a platform for massive collaboration across countries and thousands of people building on the same tree. And then the third is these amazing amount of information, the databases of all these tiny newspapers. So, yeah, your ancestors can no longer hide.
But then how do you research this beyond that period of time where, you know, there's no physical documentation like that? Does it become algorithmic like?
Right. And the DNA, I mean, there are your direct mother's line can go back thousands of years.
Right.
You won't know the names of the people, but you can see who you're connected to. And the same with the direct father's line, fathers to sons to sons to sons.
Right.
But it is interesting because you said that I am obsessed with it, which I am, but I'm also a little skeptical. I don't. I think that sometimes the claims have outrun the science. So I don't want to be just a blind endorser of this. I think that I love doing the genetic tests, but there are downsides to doing them. And also, they're not completely accurate. You know, when I took a DNA test a few years ago, it told me I was 14% Scandinavian. And over the years, that percentage has slowly disappeared. So my Scandinavian ancestors have been wiped out. But it turns out it's because the algorithm was skewed. The algorithm that the company was using was incorrect. Mm. So it's part science, but also at this point, part astrology.
Right. And of course, if you're a white supremacist or a white nationalist, you're also probably fairly disappointed in the results sometimes.
Well, yeah, that has been a fascinating thing to watch because one of the great hopes of this world family tree is that it will reduce tribalism and racism. And so I'll give you the good and the bad. The good is sometimes it does. So sometimes these white supremacists will take a test and find out that they're part African-American or part Jewish,
mm-hmm.
and they will actually have a turn of heart, and they will realize, you know, this is not the way I should go through the world. On the other hand, there are indications that it might be the opposite, that these DNA ancestry tests will actually increase tribalism. And there are some disturbing reports of white supremacists online who are sort of comparing who's got the highest percentage of European ancestry. And it's sort of like a game, ranking, right? So it could go either way. I'm hopeful that once we realize how mixed we all are, that we will, it'll break down racism, but the jury's still out.
Mm. That reminds me of the other night I was watching, I think it was Colbert Late Night, and Conan O'Brien was on as a guest, and he was saying that he found out he was 100% Irish. And he said, that never happens. That never happens.
That's not
and then,
possible.
And then he married someone who was like 95% Irish. So,
that is funny.
Well, I just, it was funny.
I think the statistics I was given by one of the firms is that 0.02% of people are purely of one ethnicity.
Right.
I myself, they've come back in different percentages. But one came back that I was about 96% Ashkenazi Jewish and about 2.5% Arab Egyptian. So I like that I have the Middle East conflict inside my body, because I figure I can get along. Maybe there's hope for us.
Yes.
That might explain some of your moods at times.
Exactly, some self-hatred.
So, you know, interesting then to make the connection, you know, find out what your DNA is about, but bridging that gap between, you know, okay, so I'm 21% Native American, but I want to know the story behind that. And that's, I think,
right,
what you're doing in your book. But how do we do that if we've gone to Ancestry or 23andMe to find out our DNA? And how did you do it?
Yeah, I think there are a bunch of ways. I have a section in the back of my book on the best ways to research your family, but they include the newspapers. They include always interview. That's the first thing I say. Interview your grandparents or parents because they are an amazing source.
Mm-hmm.
I would say there are professional genealogists who study this and do this for, and they, you know, most stuff is online now, but it can be hard to find. And not everything's online. There are some documents still stuck in libraries. But I think your overall point is very important, that it's the story. And there was an interesting study by Emory University that said that kids who knew their family history were better adjusted, more resilient than those who didn't. And it was precisely because of the story. And the psychologist who did the study talked about the importance of the oscillating narrative, that you should tell your kids about the successes of your family, but also the failures. Tell them about the time, you know, the house burned down or they were fired or they went bankrupt, because it shows that your family has had resilience, that it stayed together and it went through these tough times. And, you know, grit is very big right now in child psychology, and this is a good way to show that your family has grit.
Not only that, but it's really important to know the history of things like mental health in your family. And that mental illness seems to be something that, oh, it's very hush-hush, and we don't talk about Uncle Bob,
right,
who was kind of, you know, whatever he was. Which I have found very interesting in families. But now we're talking more and more about it.
Yeah, which is great. I think that's great. Yeah, any way we can get mental health out of the closet, I think is absolutely crucial.
So I have to ask you, you know, you're talking to folks here in Utah. A, have you been to the Family Tree Center right on Main Street in Park City? And B, you know, how much have the LDS professional genealogists helped you?
As you know, they are the superstars of genealogy. They are the Golden State Warriors. And just the amount of information, I have been out there several times. I did research. I actually spoke at the big genealogy conference, Roots Tech. It was one of the more unnerving speeches I've ever given, because it was to about 8,000 people, and I was the warm-up act for Donny Osmond. And, you know, Donny Osmond out in Utah, that's like, you know, Bruce Springsteen in New Jersey.
God.
And
yeah.
People were like, luckily they were very polite, but I can imagine everyone's like, bring on Donny. But yeah, I mean, I am so grateful to the LDS community for the research they've done. And one thing that I also want to compliment them on is that they could have kept it secret. You know, it doesn't, there's no law that says that they have to share their research, but they have been pretty open with it and sharing it with non-LDS members.
So to take this to some kind of, like you say, some type of wacky extension or so, I mean, I could make a case perhaps that I'm related, I have some type of relations to Shakespeare or other, you know,
Ted Bundy
acts. Well, across the board, like you say, AJ, it can cut across. I mean, I'm half Italian, so I could have some connections to Mussolini or other dictators, Stalin or so. But it kind of, like you say, it starts to get a little, there's a range of skepticism that grows into this. You have to be careful.
Right. Well, it is. I mean, I'm sure you can find a connection to Mussolini. I mean, that it's a double-edged sword because, yeah, you can find connections to your heroes. I found a connection to, as you mentioned, the serial killer, Jeffrey Dahmer. Mm. But I will say that was through my wife's side.
Oh, yeah. Blame it on her.
It's always an out.
But one thing to remember is just statistically, it's fun to say, you know, some people have bragging rights. Oh, I'm a descendant of Henry VIII. But if you do the statistics, pretty much everyone on Earth is a descendant of some sort of royalty.
Hmm.
Just because you look at the just the way the numbers stack up. You have four grandparents, 8, 16. It goes up and it becomes thousands very quickly. Now, that's not, it's technically a little smaller because cousins marry cousins, but overall, you have, if you go back a few generations, thousands of ancestors, and some of them, you know, a lot of them are going to be dock workers or weavers or, you know, peasants, but a couple are going to be royalty. So statistically, you can hold your head up high that you have royal blood somewhere in you.
All right. I appreciate that. I can use that sometimes. And so you do make an interesting analogy that this isn't about a tree. This is more like a forest, because out here we've learned that aspen forests are actually a collection of the same family. You know, you can have a full forest of aspens, but they are all rooted together. And so they aren't just a single tree. They are a single organism that covers hundreds or thousands of acres, in a sense. And so that's what...
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. And it reminds me that, you know, you are very distant cousins with not just people, but with animals and with every living thing.
What?
I mean, we all share. There's something called, this is science, so I thought I'd throw in, the last universal common ancestor. That's LUCA, L-U-C-A.
Hmm.
And this was a one-celled little guy or gal who lived in an underwater volcano several billion years ago. And it is your 1.1 billionth great-grandparent. So if you say great for 1 billion times, that's what it is. And that is the great-grandparent of you, of me, of cats, of cockroaches, of the aspen tree, of everyone. We all come from the single strand of DNA.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, it makes sense. Well, it does. It makes sense. We're all connected. It's one planet. We're all connected in one form or another.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Hey, AJ, I noticed that there are, you know, we've talked a lot about 23andMe and Ancestry.com, but there are more than 50 firms that offer DNA testing. I suppose that you know which are the most reputable and which are the least. I recommend a few in your book.
Right. I mean, I haven't tested them all. I took about 7 of them. And there's a website I cite in my book, or you can go on my website and there's a free link to it, that has sort of a breakdown of the pros and cons of each, because they all have their pros and cons, areas where they're more or less accurate, and then there are privacy issues. Some people are concerned, perhaps rightly, that their DNA is going to be hacked. But yeah, the big ones are MyHeritage, Ancestry, 23andMe, and Family Tree DNA, and all of them, I think, are solid.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, you've written a book that's more recent than this one, correct? About gratitude.
That's true. I did.
Well, I want to take the last couple minutes. Let's plug that and talk about that. It's really interesting because it also has a tree, in a sense, to it. Ooh. You tried to trace you wanted to thank people who made your cup of coffee, if I understood right, and that suddenly became quite a journey that expanded out laterally, vertically, etc.
Exactly. It was very similar theme that everything is connected. And the idea was I wanted to say thanks to every person who had any role, even tiniest role, in making my morning cup of coffee. And I took it wide, and it turned out to be hundreds of people. The book is called Thanks a Thousand, because I thanked over 1,000 people. Because it's not just the farmer. I went to South America and thanked him, but also the folks who designed the logo for the coffee cup, the people who, the truck driver who hauled the beans, the people who painted the yellow lines on the road so the truck wouldn't crash into traffic. So you start to realize there are hundreds of people that we take for granted in every little thing we do. So that was, it was a very similar thesis.
And of course, to me, it seems to all end up with nature, because it's nature that grows that bean to begin with, and thank goodness developed the chemical compound caffeine. and so that's where a lot of gratitude kind of ends, in a sense, or begins.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have a whole section on sort of the stuff, natural materials that we need. You know, we still need to mine ore for iron, turn into steel for the coffee maker. The paper cup is still made with trees. So, yeah, you know, thanks to nature. Yeah. I am very grateful to nature. I hope it's still around. That was one of the themes of the book. Is let's take care of nature so we still have it in 50 years.
Perfect.
The book is It's All Relative, Adventures Up and Down the World's Family Tree. Our guest is the very extraordinarily curious A.J. Jacobs. Thank you, A.J. It's been great speaking with you.
Yeah, thanks so much,
Thank
A.J.
Thank you. I enjoyed it very much.
All right. See you next time you're in Utah.
Great.
All right. Bye-bye.